This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
I have a thought that's probably dumb, but it's not definitely dumb, so I'm going to say it.
And the Bulldog.
Alan Hearns. Get out!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Maybe that thought that day was never cut Alan Hearns. Whatever you do, don't cut. This is probably dumb, but not for sure. But I really have no idea. Could have been a lot of things.
Yeah.
Joining us now on the West Shore Hotline, Ryan Lambert of Yahoo at Two Line Pass. Ryan, I read you this morning, got to work, and saw that Joe had booked you today. What a coincidence, a good one. We're glad to have you on, as always.
Thanks for having me.
Today's article was about the market for defensemen, namely P.K. Subban and Tyler Myers. We've been talking about Rasmus Ristolainen a lot, I mean, for years, but also a lot in the last few days. If you would, Ryan, for our audience, just like sort of summarize it for us. What do you see that's troubling and also maybe not surprising?
Well, it's mainly that the rumors right now are that Tyler Myers is going to sign for something like $7, $8 million a year for 7 years. And he is not that good at all. He's maybe a fifth or sixth defenseman for most teams in the league. But, I mean, you guys saw him in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. You know, he had those two good seasons like a decade ago, and now, you know, we're never gonna be rid of him. And meanwhile, you know, the Nashville Predators were so desperate to get out from under P.K. Subban's $9 million for three more years that they basically gave him away for next to nothing. Two second-round picks, a borderline NHL defenseman, and maybe a B-plus prospect. So, you know, I look at it and I go, well, the valuation on Subban is $9 million. The valuation on Tyler Myers is something like $7.5-$8 million, and one team, there's going to be a line of teams trying to sign Tyler Myers, who is I think 9 months younger than P.K. Subban, maybe not even, and you know, the market for P.K. Subban, who, you know, pretty recently was an NHL All-Star, it was borderline non-existent.
Yeah. Is there some fear, maybe? The Predators, I think, are driven by cap space and wanting to bolster their forward ranks. So from their end, I get it. And I haven't thought too much about how much better they could have done in the trade. But would you think that maybe other suitors besides the Devils were scared of the year that Subban had this year because there was only 60 games and it's 30 points? And you know, that's for $9 million, that's not a lot.
Right. I mean, the argument is that obviously Subban, you know, his skating has really kind of deteriorated over the last year. And like you said, injury concerns, and he's over 30 now. And like, yeah, that all makes perfect sense. But basically what the Devils did was bet four future pieces that don't really matter much to them, honestly, that P.K. Subban is going to turn, like, he doesn't have to be 26-year-old P.K. Subban again to get value out of that deal. And the bet, I guess, is that he'll turn into a guy who can at the very least score on the power play, which the Devils, you know, don't have anybody who can do that, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's one of those things where they're just making a bet that he's not going to be absolutely terrible. Versus, you know,
right,
Tyler Myers, we have pretty good evidence that he's just bad at this point.
Right, whereas with Subban, you've got 1 year of maybe questionable production.
Correct.
And, you know, is that a trend or is that an aberration? Yeah, the Myers part of it is way more of a curiosity to me. Because, like, Nashville, again, from their perspective, they've got Yossi and they've got Ryan Ellis and whatever. Like, they're not that they wouldn't miss a great P.K. Subban or, you know, a very good P.K. Subban. But, you know, that's how teams, you know, move around and manage their rosters and their caps. Myers getting that kind of money on the open market when he's been relegated to, you know, less than 20 or right around 20 minutes a night. And I don't get it.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing, too, is, you know, it's not just those two guys. Those were just kind of my examples for why the market is not efficient, let's say. Other guys, Jake Gardner is probably going to get similar money to Tyler Myers, who is a much better defenseman. And I think he's a year or two younger at least, too, so there's that to consider. And then, you can look at what the Flyers gave up for Justin Braun, who's bad at this point. You can look at what they gave up. Well, I mean, they gave up a good defenseman for a bad defenseman in Matt Niskanen because, again, both Niskanen and Braun are just guys that are, like, quote-unquote shutdown guys like Tyler Myers. And the fact that, you know, in 2019, NHL GMs still think that shutdown guys are as valuable as guys who are, you know, point-producing defensemen, I don't understand it, but okay.
Yeah, and with Ryan Lambert of Yahoo, what is the bigger picture here? What is the bigger point? Like, what is the summary to explain where we're at in hockey? Like, I guess Erik Karlsson, there was a time not too many years ago, Ryan, when I was starting to learn about different statistics and quickly appreciated what Karlsson's real value was. Like, as I saw it, it was all starting to sort of blossom, this community of people who are advertising for that and discussing that. And, like, I want to think that someday that will take hold, you know, that, you know, I might have thought a few years ago, but soon everybody's going to appreciate this. And some people started to sound like it, others didn't. Where are we at on this?
Yeah, so I mean, like, there are obviously, like, smart teams in the NHL, right? San Jose getting Erik Karlsson, like, because they felt like they were an Erik Karlsson away from being cup competitive. You know, that makes sense. Somebody's going to be pretty smart if they sign Tyler Myers to similar money, or I'm sorry, Jake Gardner to similar money as Tyler Myers, right? Because you're going to get a guy who's actually good for the same money as a guy who is not good. And for me, it boils down to, you know, a lot of these decisions in this sport are being made by, like, 50-plus-year-old guys who they haven't really gone out of their way to learn much more about the game than they knew 10 years ago, let's say. And, you know, Jim Benning is a guy who, he signed the Erica Branson deal that now, you know, Pittsburgh's like, oh, why are we stuck with the Erica Branson deal? And that kind of thing. Like, he's a guy who just, he doesn't make good decisions, Jim Benning. And at least in the free agent market, he doesn't. And, you know, the Canucks are now considered the front runners for Tyler Myers. And I don't think that's a coincidence. But for me, I think what I would say is shutdown guys are seen as having a certain amount of value. And GMs are willing to pay for that, even though, you know, you can kind of prove guys like Myers and Braun and Niskanen, like, you can give them the tough assignments, but they're not shutting anybody down with those minutes. So that's really what it is. GMs would rather pay for something they think they can see than something they definitely can see, which is the puck going in the back of the net.
Ryan Lambert of Yahoo is on the Western Hotline with us here on WGR. So with all that said, what should the market be if the Sabres are going to try to trade or trade Rasmus Ristolainen? Like, it feels like they should still be able to do pretty well with all of this being taken into consideration, like how these value judgments are made on guys, even what his salary is. Like, he's cost controlled at $5.4 million, which, you know, when you're talking about, like, Tyler Myers at, like, $7.5 million, it's wow. It doesn't look like that bad a deal. So should Jason Botterill be able to do pretty well, you think, in a Ristolainen trade?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what he's like. You know, you can definitely con somebody to take that contract, right? You can say, oh, you know, you can basically make all the pro Rasmus Ristolainen arguments the Sabres fans have been making incorrectly for years, right? And there are going to be, let's say, even 10 GMs would be like, yeah, no, I agree. Rasmus Ristolainen is a guy who we can win with, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the salary cap's a little lower than everybody thought it was going to be this year, and that might kind of skew things. But, yeah, I mean, you should be able to get something of value back. I don't know that that's necessarily a roster player who's going to chip in, you know, 20 goals on offense or anything like that. Like, I think the days of people going, oh, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins for Rasmus Ristolainen, that sounds like a fair trade. I think those days are over. But, like, you can get guys who can play in the NHL for them, and maybe you have to take a bad contract to make the money work or something like that. But, you know, that's just me spitballing.
How many teams out of 31, in your opinion, like, understand this? How many teams are there that, you know, you can name them if you want, but even without doing that, you would avoid? And then, you know, the rest of the teams you think maybe you could prey on?
Yeah, I'd say there are 10 teams where you could pick up the phone and try to rip them off pretty good. I'm not going to like sit here and put together a whole list, but
right.
Like just again, like Vancouver, Philadelphia, apparently Chuck Fletcher's more than happy to take your bad contracts if you can, you know, add some jam at the back or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Definitely those GMs still exist, but, you know, they're getting fewer and farther between, and decision-making is getting better. Like, I was surprised last week when the Ducks bought out Corey Perry, just because I figured, you know, they think he has one more or two more years left in him. Turns out they didn't think that, which they were right to do it, but that even, like, 3 years ago, I would have said that's a team that you can very easily rip off, so...
Yeah, and alongside is the idea of paying for past performance, which maybe was another reason to think that wouldn't happen in Anaheim, because he's been an icon there. With Ryan Lambert of Yahoo. So, Ryan, what do you think happens with Mitch Marner?
You know, it's crazy, because now a lot of teams are starting to make trades specifically to clear cap space. Like Carolina made one yesterday where they gave up mm-hmm. Calvin DeHaan, who is a good defenseman. Although he is coming off an injury and maybe they're concerned that he's not going to be as good as he was. But like he can play if he's healthy, and they gave him up for nothing. Basically the cap space that, you know, he was taking up, and they only really need to re-sign Sebastian Aho. So maybe they're gearing up to take a run at Mitch Marner. Colorado cleared space today. They traded Carl Soderberg for next to nothing, and so maybe they're gearing up. Obviously, the Islanders have a ton of cap space, and Lou Lamoriello would have the familiarity with the player, that kind of thing. I am never in my life going to say that an offer sheet is going to happen or is remotely likely to happen. This is the NHL, but... Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of interest in Marner, because he's unbelievably good. So,
maybe it'll keep going like this with younger players coming in and being elevated into, you know, producing type roles. So guys coming out of entry level deals will be more and more appealing as time goes on. But with this class of guys that is out there, you mentioned Aho and Marner, and Winnipeg's got a couple guys. Colorado's got Rantanen. It feels to me like if we're going to get offer sheets ever in our lifetimes, it's got to be now. You know, like,
yeah,
like
you said, there's just so many good players in this RFA class, like Charlie McAvoy in Boston. I mean, they're gonna have space to sign him, but like, if you threw $8 million at him, I don't know. Would Boston match that? They only have like $12 million in cap space, that kind of thing. So yeah, there's definitely a lot to think about. Just the amount of young talent is crazy.
If you ran a team, would you be all about offer sheets, and would you be attacking like this?
I would be willing to give up 4 first-round picks for Mitch Marner if I thought we were You know, like if I, let's say I'm Carolina. I think Carolina might be a Mitch Marner away from being really good, like really, really good. And so, yeah, if I'm Carolina and I'm like, you know what, I'll give up like four, like the 22nd, 26th, 25th pick in the draft every year
right.
for the next 4 years, like that's fine with me. But like, you know, would I be also targeting those kind of middle class RFAs? I don't know. I guess I take it on a case-by-case basis.
Right. And it also, it does matter, I think, like what you want to pay the player. Like Marner is not a center. And whether it's right to have them valued higher, that's how it works so far in the salary structure in the league. A lot of what the Leafs are up against is that they've got a pair of centers in Tavares and Matthews, and they don't want to pay a winger more than those guys. So do you want a $12 million winger on your team is a good question, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think position matters as much as people kind of think it does. That's just me personally, but that's how I feel about it. And you know, not that I'm saying, you know, you should pay a good defenseman as much as you pay a forward, just because, you know, defensemen are, let's say, less likely to produce offense, right? Unless they're Erik Karlsson or something like that. But yeah, I think in general, I wouldn't really have a problem paying a winger, like an elite winger, as much as an elite center.
Do you think the biggest reason we don't have offer sheets, even though they're allowed, is the reason that I think GMs most often give, which is, well, you could get me back, you know, this sort of belief that it's bad for the overall, or it could be bad for me. Like, I also think the GMs covet their draft picks. The teams covet yeah. their draft picks. And, you know, at the end of the first round, the hit rate isn't great anyway, but still, like, that's kind of what you're there for, is there are so few trades, right? Free agency often goes badly. I don't know. Where are you? I would much more expect it from a GM who's been around a long time, that's got the security, Ryan, but at the same time, that GM has probably avoided this course of action for many years.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess the thing about getting the revenge offer sheet, like, you're not going to get somebody as good as Mitch Marner off my roster. You know what I mean? Like, there are just very few guys. Like, I would be, I guess, pretty selective about it. Like, Mitch Marner is a guy who is worth it. But I wouldn't do it like the case with Thomas Vanek, however many years ago that was, where it's like, yeah, he's pretty good, but, I mean, he's not, like, differentiating an okay team from a really good one, right? And Mitch Marner, I think, is that kind of talent. And if you want to, if I'm the Islanders, like, and if you want to take a run at one of my RFAs 2-3 years from now, have fun. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we're just not developing guys like Mitch Marner, because guys like Mitch Marner are extremely rare. And, you know, the thing about teams, like, really coveting their draft, like, obviously, teams, fans, everybody kind of overrates their own prospects just because of the cost control of it, you know? But also, like, you go, oh, who, I don't know, who the Penguins took 21st overall, like, now they're going to try to talk themselves into, you know what, this kid's a future top six winger, that kind of thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't often work out that way. So
the GM, it's also the past, like you're saying, not just future picks, but the GM's name is tied to the, especially if it's a higher pick, the other player. We remember the Vanek developments very well. Of course, Edmonton stayed bad, so those would have been great picks, probably. Vanek likely doesn't change that. And
right.
the Sabres had this, you know, they were a snap call on that, because, as they said that day, you can't just come take everything you want out of our
right.
off our shelves.
Right.
But, you know, like Regier drafting Vanek, GMs, when we're doing our job and people are talking about GMs in any sport, it's like, well, who did they draft? You know, and
right.
most fans, I think, still believe that these people should know the future. They should know who's going to be good. And, you know, come on, they really don't that well.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you know, there's always the story of, like, Patrice Bergeron was a second-round pick, right? Like, that kind of thing is very common, and people hold that up as, like, well, this is why second-round picks are valuable. But it's, you know, how many second-round picks did the Bruins make between now and then that didn't yeah. turn into anything at all?
Right.
You know? So, it's one of those things where, yeah, obviously, like, there, like, these are lottery tickets, and sometimes even on a low chance, like, whatever, Pavel Datsyuk was like a seventh-round pick or sixth-round pick or something like that, and he's a Hall of Famer, one of the best in the modern era. But also, you know, like, be realistic. Like, what percent chance are you going to get? Let's not even say Pavel Datsyuk, like a borderline NHL player with a seventh-round pick. It's pretty rare. So.
Yeah, that's just true across sports. Even the New England Patriots, even and especially the New England Patriots. Like, you look up their drafts and, well, it speaks for itself. Okay. Ryan, thanks as always for your time. Good job on this piece today. We'll talk again soon, I hope.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Ryan Lambert on Twitter, at @2linepass, and he's with Yahoo.
I also read that piece this morning before I got here and before I knew he was going to be on the show. I just, the Myers thing, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. It just doesn't make sense. It's only one report, too. Like, I don't know. We'll see. I guess maybe I'll believe he gets all that money when he gets it. But, wow, just doesn't add up.
There is for lack of a better way to put it right now, an elephant in the room from like a comment I made about that column, things that were said yesterday, just like where we're at with the Sabres, certainly where I'm at with the Sabres, just like I've got to see them show that they know what their problem is. And like I just don't really have any evidence of that yet. There's also a list of players they qualified in free agency. Today, restricted free agents, McCabe, and so on. So we'll get to that. But also, I want to talk about this this other thing, too. 803-0550 is the number. You want to talk about Ristolainen or free agency or trades or all the stuff that we've been on for a few days here, please give us a call. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, back with the update after a short break on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The fact that he's a younger player, it means that the value is maybe a little higher. I know he's not playing at par defensively with the way that he wants to play and probably with how the team wants him to play. One thing with Jake Gardner, you know exactly what you're going to get. Same thing with Tyler Myers. When we're talking about a 24-year-old defenseman right now, there's still some upside in his game, but there's still some question marks too. So that's one of the problems right now.
Renaud Lavoie, RDS, on the morning show today. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Phone lines are open, 803-0550. Big hockey week with free agency starting Monday. There have been some trades. The Sabres have been quiet other than this news we just went over, qualifying offers for restricted free agents. No one, am I right here? Like no one NHL-wise of significance was left off. Last year, like Robin Leonard.
That's right. Yeah, the question was maybe Gergensen's or Larson, one of the two, might get skipped over. This is the team confirming this. I think we had this on Friday when we talked to Paul from the draft. We were already on to reports of these players being qualified. This is just confirmation from the team. I don't think we had Ellie then, and he's probably a Rochester guy anyway, but you're qualifying him to just keep him. You must think he has some value to you. So, you know, that's where that's at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think him getting – if any fan is looking at that and goes, like, all those guys are on my team next year, I would tell you not to freak out. Because there could be half of those guys aren't on your team next year. Either through trade or just waivers or, you know, whatever. I mean, if you end up waiving them because they don't make your team, fine. You know, nothing is penalizing you, really, the cap room, the money. It's nothing significant. And if they have any value as a throw-in in something that they're going to concoct here in the next week or two, then you'd want to have them in your pocket.
All right, so again, question or comment, 803-0550. We've talked a lot about the roster, really most of the show for a few shows in a row here. And also in the first hour today about logos and maybe uniforms with the Sabres starting to announce some of what they have in mind for next season. They're calling it their golden season. It is the 49th season and the 49th year, right? What is it? It's not really 50 yet, but they're calling it 50. The canceled season is the reason why this won't be their 50th season. But anyway, so you've got that to talk about too, and the schedule. The schedule came out today. For the second year in a row, one thing from it, they will play a 4 o'clock home game the day after Thanksgiving. And so we look at the schedule when it comes out. I'm a season ticket holder. I think about, like, I like Friday nights. I like the marquee teams. I'm like most people when it comes to the schedule and whatever. And also about, like, work. They will play on Columbus Day at home. That's happened a few times in recent years.
It's been a pretty regular thing, yeah.
In the afternoon. And that affects us because that might mean that we might not be needed. And also that Thanksgiving Friday, that's Toronto this year. Last year was Montreal. Jeff Skinner scored an overtime goal. It was in the middle of the winning streak.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the 10th. I don't know. Was it the 10th game of the winning streak?
I don't remember now.
Okay.
No, I think the 10th game was San Jose at home a couple of nights later.
Okay. So that was a 4 o'clock game. And we were talking before the show, like, What about that? I wonder if that's all usually been a work day for us, and maybe it won't be. But I remembered the Bills play on Thanksgiving.
Right. It's also the day after a Bills game.
So we will work on Thanksgiving,
right?
If not also
right.
The next day. But so you'll have the Bills at Dallas on Thanksgiving. They're also home on the Wednesday night, too. Is it Calgary? Maybe?
Yes.
And I love those games. I mean, those are fun, fun yes. games to go to.
I was recollecting you and I had a memorable, it's memorable. It's memorable to me. I doubt it's memorable to anyone out there that was there. But it just came up the other day. I was sitting around with some people and just talking about the sumo suits and the hamster balls, and that was on Thanksgiving Eve, like 2005, maybe
earlier
than that.
Yes, okay. Because it has to be at the latest 2003.
Okay.
Because my wife was at the game and we were not a couple.
Yeah.
And she said, I thought she remember. We've talked about this when we met, you know, and like, yeah, she's like, yeah, I was at that game. I saw that. I was just taken by how unathletic you were. We were in these giant hamster balls and like banging into each other at center ice on ice. You sort of run at the other person and somebody's supposed to fall down.
Right, in the sumo suits, right. There were two different things. Yeah, the hamster balls was
right. That was the sumo suits.
Sumo suits was the reason it came up where it was over the weekend with some friends. Someone was talking about like times they were really scared. And I said I was legitimately scared. They couldn't get me out of that suit. Those suits are not designed for 6 foot 5 inch men. They're designed for average sized humans. So they jammed me into this suit, and we did our thing. I remember, like, you know, if it's that early, like, we barely were working together by then. And
2003 is probably the
okay.
Game.
So that's our first hockey season together. I remember at one point we bumped into each other a few times, and then I think I said to you, "I'm gonna take a dive here.
One of us has to go down.
One of us has to go down and end this. So I'm going down. Just jump on top of me, because I'm dying out here. Like I was legitimately soaking wet with sweat, and just not. I couldn't move in that thing. Not that it's designed to move in, but then they couldn't get it off of me.
Yeah.
It was a struggle, and I'm back, you know, in the bowels of the arena, and they're trying to get this thing out. I think, like, I'm going to die in this suit. This is how it ends. Like, I'm sweating. I'm out of breath. My heart's pounding. And they can't get this thing off of me. That was not. And then we had to go do the hamster thing the next intermission, I think.
Anyway. That's right. That's right. The hamster balls was the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just did not want to fall. I did not want to crash in that.
Yeah.
That setting.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
I played it safe.
How did we get started on this? I'm sorry.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, I like those. Aside from that experience, I like those games too. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving is a fun one.
Yeah. So. I want no part of entertaining that crowd. Like, I just do. That was the other part of it.
Yeah.
Doing like arena host before that. I'd done that a few times. And like, that's just not for me.
No.
I mean, that is just not for me.
No, me, me either. I didn't.
I admire and I respect like the talent. For
yes.
The people who are good at that.
Me too.
Like,
I am decidedly not. And
I'm too stiff for it.
So the whole thing was really awkward.
Yeah.
Like, it was nice that they, you know, they wanted us to do it. And like, at the time we weren't carrying the games. So, you know, I appreciated that they wanted to give us an opportunity to get exposure in that way, but yeah, that was a weird fit. I'll just end it, and I'll end it there. The suit in itself literally was a weird fit. And then this, the whole idea of us,
they gave us a jersey
going like, hey, it's time to spin the wheel or whatever. I don't know what kind of stuff we did, but yeah. Yeah. The jerseys, I still have the jersey Bulldog 55.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. 803-0550. Is this Brian, Joe? All right. Brian he was on the line before. I want to make sure. Brian, go ahead. Hi.
Hey, you got me?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead, man.
Hey, I was just calling. This isn't a rant against you guys at all. I'm just honestly sick of reading about and hearing about trading versus the line in. Should we trade him? Should we not? What's the benefit? It's just, to me, it's totally asinine because if you look at where it's at, is he a top two defenseman? I've always said he was. He's not. He's a top four defenseman for sure. He's probably not the best defenseman on the Sabres now that we have Dahlin there. So trading him, what does that get us? Who knows? I'm looking back to 12 years ago, 13 years ago, when the first real rebuild started when we traded Pominville, Roy, Vanek, everyone. Did we win any of those trades? I can't remember drastically winning any of those trades.
Why should that matter now?
I can remember losing this O'Reilly trade, but it just seems like a Buffalo thing when your players that are expected to be good that still play good but not live up to the greatest expectations, we want to get rid of. Derek Roy was still the top point getter on the Buffalo Sabres when everyone was saying, hey, let's get rid of him. He was terrible. He still had the most points on the team.
Yeah, I just wouldn't apply that. So I wouldn't apply things that happened 10 years ago with, in every way, different management just because it's in the same city.
Okay, so I guess look at what our Buffalo kid, Patrick Kane, two negative things happened to him where he was arrested and then insanely negative charges were put against him that were insanely false, came against him. What does Chicago do?
What does Patrick Kane have to do with Ristolainen?
I'm just talking about when things come into perception, like Ryan O'Reilly hitting the Tim Hortons and saying that he lost his love of hockey, Evander Kane getting in trouble on Chippewa Street, so we have to trade him. Looking at good organizations that actually are like, okay, we're going to keep this player because he's good. We're not going to train him because of this. This is X is what happened.
Okay, but I don't think Evander Kane was at all traded for that reason. And I don't really think O'Reilly was. So it sounds like you're just sort of picking out examples out of thin air and then applying what you know about them to conclude that this is why that happened. And to me, like, none of those is accurate. So
now, if that's not the reason why, then tell me why you think Ryan O'Reilly was traded.
How can you possibly assert that Ryan O'Reilly was traded because he drove his truck into a Tim Hortons days after he was traded? They signed him to a 7-year, $50 million contract after that happened.
No, that's not what I'm saying, Bulldog. I'm saying the reason why...
Well, it's literally what you said three different times. So you want to get to why he was traded, and you're trying to connect it to the Tim Hortons thing from three or four summers ago. I mean, I'm sorry, you're trying too hard.
No, I'm trying to connect it to the fact that he was traded because he said he lost his love for hockey. Excuse me.
Well, we think that that might have had something to do with it, but I mean, we've talked about the O'Reilly trade 100 times. I still don't know. Look, I can understand why anybody would think of O'Reilly when thinking about Ristolainen. To me, I don't care. It just doesn't have to matter, so I don't care. Ristolainen should be traded because you have a league that's really overall terrible at evaluating players, at understanding who's good and who's not. I know how weird that might be to hear, but I believe it to be true. And Ristolainen, because he's big and a good mover, is somebody just like fans, maybe just like you, have thought for years is really good, and all the evidence is to the contrary. So in a league where so many teams do such a bad job of that, I have thought for a long time that's an opportunity. And O'Reilly, thanks Brian, O'Reilly went as badly as any trade can go, but it is applicable. You have the same GM and the same owner, and I really hope they are not timid when it comes to Ristolainen. I still think the bigger point is that they probably think he's good because the Sabres in every way have acted like that for years. Maybe, though, there is the other piece where they don't want O'Reilly to happen again. That's really embarrassing. All the way up to the 7th game of the Stanley Cup Finals and awards night.
Right.
And that's really embarrassing.
Right. It never has really stopped. In fact, like NBC puts out their schedule story today, and there's a giant picture of Ryan O'Reilly holding the Stanley Cup. Like you just can't get away from it right now. So it's kind of in your face. Look, O'Reilly somehow or another didn't fit. And I don't think the Tim Hortons thing traces to it at all. But whatever was happening, he was traded for culture or chemistry or some derivation of that, if you want to know. And I don't think the love of the game sealed it. They were trying to trade him, I feel like I know that, in February, before he ever got around to saying he'd lost his love for the game. Maybe they knew he had and wanted to just move on then. I don't know. We went over and over and over that. Ristolainen, to me, the reason you do it is you've got younger players coming up behind him that can take his minutes, and if he has value, I need to find my way to more players that can help me right now. That's what I need to do. I like the draft class. Great. I'll see you in a couple of years. Everything else, where's my help coming from? Where am I getting more goals? Who am I getting to support Casey Mittelstadt? I've got to do something. And missing on a trade 6 years ago or even last year shouldn't stop me from doing that. I've got to do something.
So, you know, if you're listening, if you pay attention, obviously Bulldog and I have different reasons for wanting this trade. I mean, they're almost completely different, but you still end up at the same place. I just want the Sabres to know who's good and who's bad. And that's it. And O'Reilly was good, and that bothers me. Culture, I don't care about. Hockey cares about it. The Bills care about it. I don't care about it. I don't think it's a separator in sports like it's advertised to be. And O'Reilly, for anything that was going on, was provably good. He made a positive impact on the Sabres, and they did not value that over whatever else was really in their minds. So they traded him. And they could not have done worse, it seems, from what you got. Probably. So, whatever. I mean, we're still not sure if they will or why they will do it or whatever like that. We're kind of just waiting to find out. But at least it seems possible, right?
I'd love to know what else they're going to do if they don't do that.
Yeah, right.
That's
how are you going to make your team good?
Right. What are you going to do? I mean, are we just going to sit here and go, well, Casey Mittelstadt increased his bench press by 20 pounds. No, I mean, that doesn't fit on a decal. I just don't think that's really going to work. It's not an ad campaign. You need to do something to your team.
What are you going to do? That's right. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks again, Brian. This is WGR.
Have you nailed down a spot in the WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament yet? If you haven't, there's still time. Bidding is still open. The WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament at Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course in Lewiston. It's Monday, July 8th, so 2 weeks from yesterday. We're auctioning off the opportunity for you to be able to play with any of the celebrities that are available. Danny Gare, Andrew Peters, Dan Dunleavy, Brian Duff. There should be others added there. Plus your on-air staff here, Howard, Jeremy, Mike, myself, Sal Capaccio, etc. You can bid on a foursome for yourself, too, so you don't have to deal with my crummy golf game. But, yeah, I mean, you'll miss out on... What are you going to miss out on if you don't golf with me? My good humor.
Right. That occasional putt.
Yeah, I think I helped my team last year. I did some good things, but I'm erratic. You can't really trust me. Anyway, it's a great day. Food and drink all day long. And presented by Dr. Beyer Optical Group. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer. Call 646-EXAM. With support from Encore Golf, Buffalo's only innovative golf ball company, and Michelob Ultra. Again, that's Seneca Hickory Stick, Monday, July 8th. Get to WGR550.com to bid.
There's a certain question I want to answer and discuss that comes from all these Ristolainen conversations. That's what I meant earlier by the elephant in the room.
Yes.
I want to answer a certain question about this.
Okay, well, I'll ask the question. I'm not sure what it is. When you said elephant in the room, I'm like, what, did I miss something? Did I miss a meeting? I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, now I got it.
Yeah, we'll do that after the update because there's not much time here. We went long talking to the last guy. Today was my kid's last day of school.
Okay.
And yesterday I asked them what they did. They had like 2 hours, these half days. And my son said it was really mostly just yearbook day. Like, what do you mean yearbook day? Like, you got your yearbook? He's like, no, we signed yearbooks.
Right.
And they almost every student in his class wrote the same little message next to their name. You know, like high school, it's these long, or at least it used to be, if it's not still, these long, drawn out, you know, 200-300 words. You know, all these different, you know, memories mention everything. Fourth grade, it's the first name, and then H-A-G-S.
Have a great summer.
Have a great summer. That's right. All the kids, like he might have had 15 signatures on the back cover of his yearbook, and 10 of them just had H-A-G-S. Like, you're not even writing have a great summer? He's like, takes too long, really. We didn't have enough time, Daddy. So yearbook signing.
Yep.
Today was it. I think they're going out to a movie or something maybe tonight to celebrate.
Cool.
Not the whole class.
Just your
Yeah, kids. My wife and kids are going to do something fun probably.
Yeah, good day. That's a big day. Last day of school is it's you know, yeah, it's for the kids. I mean, you remember when you were a kid, it's on. It seems like you have forever off.
On to fifth grade and third grade for them right. Next year.
Giddy up.
All right, back to the Sabres after sports here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.